All right, I think we have everybody, so we can bring the meeting to order. What time is it? It is 5:30, exactly.
Hello, this is Steve Kennedy.
Hi, Steve. It's Christie Gerardo, how are you?
Hey, good, how you doing, Christie?
We're doing well, thank you. We're bringing the meeting to order. All right, sounds good. Who would like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Any volunteers? All right, we'll ask our newest.
Oh, yes, no.
Let's rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, and with roll call, you want me just to state who's here, correct? We didn't actually use that. Have you guys spelled it? So, board member Piccolo, Claire Warren, Gerardo, and Watson are all present. And then the agenda approval, before we go ahead with that, I know that Tammy and Kurt would like to add an agenda item with regard to recreation economy for rural communities. Steve, is there anything we have to do special to add that, or can we just go ahead and add it?
That's a little problematic. In order to add an item onto the agenda for a regular meeting, the board would have to make a finding by four board members present. It would require unanimity that there is a need for immediate action and that the need arose after the agenda was posted. So in other words, boards can't just simply add items onto the agenda without making a finding that whatever the need is, whatever the issue that you want to add onto the agenda, that need arose after the agenda was posted and that there's a need for immediate action.
Okay, so it did arise after, but the need is that?
Hi, Steve, it's Tammy. This was presented to me last night by Kurt after the meeting. It's a recreation economy for rural communities application work program, and there is a deadline of October 16th to submit an application. So we would like to at least get an application approval to get an application started. Kurt was going to give a little blurb about it if it was approved to add to the agenda.
Okay. Well, with that, would it be up to the board how comfortable the board is with adding that onto the agenda with those findings? I think that legally it's sufficient. That statement of fact would be sufficient for the board to do it. It arose to the attention of the district after the agenda was posted in light of the appointment that occurred last night, and there is a deadline, and you do not have a regular meeting scheduled in between now and then. So if the board is inclined to add it, I think that there's sufficient factual and legal basis to do so. It's just really whether the board wants to. A lot of times, some reluctance is due to, the public is unaware that this item is on the agenda, and maybe the public would have wanted to weigh in on it. Had the public known that this was something that the board was going to discuss. So that's always the factors that the board has to consider before adding an item on the agenda.
Okay, so do we get a motion to approve and see if everyone agrees? Is that how we would proceed then?
Yeah, so if someone wants to make a motion to approve the agenda with that particular item added and say 12A, then someone can make that motion. It can be seconded. Again, does require, with four board members present, does require all four board members to agree.
Okay.
Can Kurt provide a quick description? Is it grant money or because if there's a...
Well, keep in mind, what the action that is being requested is only to add it onto the agenda. The description of what it is, is something that would occur during this discussion of the substance of that matter once it's added onto the agenda.
Okay.
All right, can we get
a motion? Go ahead.
I say, do we have a motion to approve?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to add this agenda item so we can discover what opportunity this is for tonight's agenda. And I move that we add it as item 12A.
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? All right, it is added as item 12A. All right, next on our agenda is public comments.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. I am Patricia Gonzalez. I am with Full Circle and Beyond Prepared. We are a health and safety nonprofit organization. I'm also here on behalf of Wrightwood Village Foundation. And I just wanted to just give you the information that we have been having health and safety classes since July. And they will be running up through December and hopefully into the new year. They take place at the Methodist Church. They are free of charge. And so we do have classes that also run in San Bernardino. So they're in person and Zoom. And for tomorrow, which is our San Bernardino classes, it will be See Something, Say Something, and Emergency Preparedness for the Functionally Disabled, as well as Special Needs. And for the health classes, it'll be Habits, Hang-Ups, and Health, and also Weight Management. And then Wrightwood will have an updated version of See Something, Say Something. That will be October 16th. And then in November, we'll also be presenting 5 steps to emergency preparedness. And the second class will be emergencies and the aftermath. And then for our health classes, it'll be tenacity and triumph when life gets tough. And then also an eat smart during the holidays. So we just want to continue to encourage the community to plan and prepare as we have. And then not only for the emergencies, but for day-to-day crises, so we can be able to deal with the things that affect our mental health and emotional health. And lastly, just want to give my appreciation on behalf of all 3 organizations to everyone who was prepared and got us through this last event, and appreciation to our first responders and everyone who kept our community together. So thank you.
Thank you.
Can you come up to the mic?
Thank you. I'd also like to start by thanking the first responders. I live on Timberline, so you saved my house. For those of you that don't know me, my name is April Gould. And I've been the Wrightwood's Got Dance dance teacher for the past year. In this position, I teach children's creative movement, children's ballet, and adult dance fitness classes. Each of these, the children's courses, concludes with a dance recital up on that stage right behind you, in which friends and family, sometimes those who live hours away, come to see the kids perform their dances on the stage. If you've ever had a chance to attend one of these recitals, you know they're really special for the dancers, and they're incredibly popular. We typically run out of chairs in this building and have to have people standing in the back. I absolutely love teaching the children and giving back to our lovely community. I come before you today with a heavy heart but a clear mind to make clear why I no longer can, in good conscience, continue with this program as it currently stands. Since the program's inception, we have run into a number of issues which boil down to 3 main areas: communication, child safety, and donations. I provide some examples of these issues below, and I'll pass this out to you. The first comes over water bottles. I've been instructed repeatedly not to have water bottles on hand for the kids,
and told that they should exit this door and walk to the public restroom across the way to use a drinking fountain if they don't have a water bottle. The passive-aggressive faces aren't great either. I've needed to buy these water bottles and provide them anyway because I don't feel comfortable sending pre-K kids out of the building unsupervised next to a bus stop where we've had robbers come into town to do that. So that's one issue. It's not about the water bottles, it's about getting reprimanded for providing water bottles to kids. Second, the Wrightwood Property Owners Association has kindly and generously donated over $1,150 to this program for scholarships, costumes, and dance equipment. But that being said, there's minimal transparency regarding these funds and who determines how they are allocated. Although I can account for how some of it has been spent, and some of it has been spent for the program, absolutely. It is unclear what, if anything, has happened to the remaining $963, if the numbers I have are correct. I recommend that an external third-party audit be conducted to protect everyone involved and return any unused funds back to the Property Owners Association. I'm well aware that the dance program is offered through Parks and Recreation and is offered on a limited budget. Accordingly, I have purchased a number of supplies for classes and recitals with my own money. I have been repeatedly reprimanded for doing so. So I don't know why certain folks are allowed to donate to this program, but not me. And this has been a long-going documented issue, you'll see. The first time this happened, students were promised t-shirts by Parks and Recreation. Those didn't get ordered, so I ordered them so the children wouldn't be snubbed. That was about $300. The second time, the Wrightwood Property Owners Association donors requested that we use funds they raised for costumes for the recital. I was asked to pick some costumes for the kids, and it was determined to order one set of costumes, not both, even though I asked not to have one class get costumes and one class not. So we had a lot of kids in tears, basically wondering why they didn't get costumes and somebody else did, and all of that could have been avoided by just not doing costumes. So to prevent this from happening again, at the most recent recital, I bought props for both classes. Once again, Tammy Keene took issue with this and scolded me for donating to the program. And I just don't understand why. And then finally, we've had a number of communication issues regarding class scheduling. Most recently, the dance recital was scheduled for the same morning as our town car show. Families were told to park across in a parking lot across Highway 2 and walk across. To attend the show in this building. This wasn't disclosed to me until the parents brought it to my attention that they didn't feel comfortable doing this, that they didn't know which parking lot. I still am not clear which parking lot, and that it was a really busy morning to have kids and elderly grandparents crossing Highway 2. So luckily I got food poisoning and we had to reschedule everything. But once again, like there was a whole plan made about having this event on the same day. I was never told of it. There was a whole plan made about where they would park and how they would get here. We weren't told of it. And when parents raised concerns, it was just sort of like, well, deal with it. I'm bringing this before you so that if you find another dance teacher, they don't have to deal with these issues. If something happened to one of these precious kids because they were told to leave the building for water or cross a busy highway for the recital, and I did not warn you, I would never forgive myself. These issues have been long-standing, and I'm not comfortable with lowering the standard of the classes or compromising on child safety to be involved in this program. It is my sincere hope that with others, I will be able to find another platform to offer these classes for the children of Wrightwood, because it's really fun and they're great kids. And I believe our town needs more pro-social activities for the youth. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, April.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can I get a copy, please, of what you presented to the board?
Yes,
thank you.
Here you go.
Just keep going up. we can't just for the audience's information, we can't in the public comment period comment on the public comments, so we just are here to receive them. So just to let you know.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you so much, board members, for listening. And that was heavy. That was, you know, intense. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I own the martial arts studio across the way, and I would love for her dance program to come and have space in my martial arts studio so you can continue on. And this is one of my worries about the CSD kind of taking on and taking away, like, our business potential. She could have a dance studio at the top of the road right here and be a successful business owner. It doesn't have to be in the community building, you know? So I worry about that, just like too much kind of oversight where you're kind of taking away business opportunities from, you know, potential business owners. She could have a business that'd be really successful up here. So if you want to do your dance thing in my martial arts studio when we're not doing it, I won't charge you anything. Get it started and then move up the road and we'll have a beautiful business right up the road. We'll have a dance studio. I'll have my jiu-jitsu. We're not even competing businesses. And then the CSD doesn't have to manage that, okay? But also I want to talk about crime, because she mentioned kids going out there. Crime is a very serious thing. And when we looked into managing our own fire department, we discovered that about $3.6 million was going towards fire, but about $950,000 is going towards police, right? From our taxes being generated here. I'd like to see a breakdown of how that $950,000 is being spent in this community each year, right? And as CSD board members, I'd like to see you guys open up communications with our county supervisors, maybe Paul Cook, say, I want a breakdown of how that $950,000 is being spent, right? And then from there, we can start to bargain with them. I've talked to the seniors in this town who remember when we used to have three police officers in this town. Right? And the substation was right there at the bottom of the buildings right there on Apple. Okay, there was a substation right there. There was three police officers that used to be in town. We afforded it back then. We can't afford it now. With $950,000 was a police officer made. Right? You want $200,000 a year? We'll pay you $200,000 a year. You come up here. You be our sheriff. And then we'll spend the rest of the money, bro. We'll get you a nice cruiser. We'll set you up way better than what they're paying. You see what I mean? We have the money to do it, and then we could be in charge of this. Because I don't want a police officer giving me a ticket for not wearing my seatbelt, rolling from my house to the gym because I'm being a little lazy. This is a mountain town. I don't want a ticket for that. But I want you all over this crime. I want you all over it. And I run the neighborhood watch up here, and we do our best, but when we overstep our boundaries, we're vigilantes. You see what I mean? So at the end of the day, yeah, see something, say something. That goes so far. We need your help, man. We need you up here. We need you taking care of this. We need you at our neighborhood watch meetings. All right? So, and that $950,000, we want accountability, and I want a list, and I want it available to me and the rest of the public that are paying those taxes, that are generating that. Kurt, welcome to the board. Thank you.
Thanks, Chad.
Good to see you. Besides that, thank you guys very much for allowing me to speak. The CSD does great things, and we're very thankful for having the CSD in our town so we can start to have a little bit of more accountability of how these taxes are being spent. And I hope that another, you know, other competing organizations in our town will kind of, you know, just bow in respect to the CSD, because this is what we've created now. This is our leading organization, and we need to start putting faith in, you know, supporting the CSD. So hopefully in the future we can get a lot more support, get some action with some strong-armed people in here that are going to attack the county and get some accountability. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else have public comment? All right. Thank you, guys. All right. Next on the agenda is agency reports. Anybody?
Looks like we have a few agencies here. Chris Porter from Congressman Cook's office. Supervisor Cook. I'm sorry.
Good evening, everyone. Again, like was echoed earlier, we want to thank the first responders for all their efforts up here for saving the community. It's an awesome job for us. So something just real quick. Just to let the board know, Caltrans is anticipating construction this fall or early next year, weather permitting, on two overhead messaging signs on Highway 2 coming into Wrightwood that said mile markers 2.6 off of the eastbound side and then 3.5 for the westbound side. And I'm trying to follow up with Caltrans on this, but I believe they're supposed to also get one on 138 coming up into Wrightwood. Those are the overhead CMS signs, changeable messaging signs. So when I checked last month with them, they said that the contract had not yet been awarded to a contractor, but they're moving that direction. So that's supposed to happen anytime now. When I get updated information, I'll let you know. And also, I just want to thank the CSD for hosting the Winter Traffic Meeting again later this month. Invites are already out, and we'll coordinate further, but that's all I have tonight.
Thank you.
Good evening, Board Council. Ken Letts, Captain of the Victor Valley Station. I'll give you an update on last month. We discussed the burglary over at the market and the attempted burglary at the other locations. This morning, they did arrest two subjects that were in that case. They also did approximately 30 other cases in the Southern California area, Los Angeles, Riverside County, San Bernardino County, the Victor Valley area. One lived in Victorville, the other one lived in, they both actually technically had addresses in Los Angeles. So the SWAT team went out, served the arrest warrants on both of them. So they're in custody, they're putting those cases together. And that's the most I have. I'm glad we got through this last event, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Captain.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Kelly Anderson, Assistant Chief, San Bernardino County Fire. I'll start with just kind of a brief update on just our local station, local responses for Station 14. Can you hear me now? Is it on? Can you hear me? Everybody hear me okay? All right. So Station 14, obviously this last month was busy with the Bridge Fire. However, as far as local responses, our call numbers are down. Part of that, I think, was just with everything going on. Obviously, there is a chunk of time when nobody was here. So as far as vegetation fires, any investigations or alarms, a total of 7. Medical aids, a total of 26. Public service, 5. And traffic collisions, 1, for a total of 41, which, again, was fairly low month for us, considering. There are a couple things that we would like to discuss. One, getting into the Bridge Fire. I came up here that Tuesday when the fire came in, and from the start was up here for about 2 weeks until we transitioned out. But I really would like to thank the community for just their overwhelming support to the firefighters. It was amazing from just the thanks, the shows of support, the food, the drinks, the snacks, just the constant donations that we received. So it was really nice to see the community really come together. And I'll speak on behalf of all the crews and their appreciation. And this is just something we put together. It's just a plaque just to thank you to the community. So if we could just figure if we just present it to the CSD, if you guys have somewhere in the community room, somewhere you guys want to put it
thank
up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Do you want to put it up?
And there was an ask for a community meeting regarding the Bridge Fire. The Angeles National Forest is here. They will get, when they come up, they will give you guys kind of a brief status update of where things are at. But we do have plans, just because of the short notice, not being able to get it agendized, and we also feel the best forum would be a special meeting. We're gonna schedule that, and we could touch base and see if, maybe a day next week that the community center is available. We would like to do that. But we want to make sure that is properly advertised so that all members of the community have the ability to be here and ask any questions or share their concerns. And we'll have representatives from all agencies that were present at the bridge fire that can be there to hopefully answer your questions and put your mind at ease. As far as local events, again, we had the two appreciation events, which were great. I think very well attended, very well appreciated by the first responders. So thank you again to the community for that. We also have partnered with Red Cross for a sound the alarm, which I believe the CSD received an email with that. That'll be in November. So there's a link on there that has information for any residents. Red Cross is installing free smoke detectors for anybody that needs them. So if you guys can go on there and sign up, and they'll be up here on November 16th to do those installations if you guys are free. And then in closing, I would just like to thank my staff for their commitment during the last couple weeks for the bridge fire. You know, you guys here at Station 14, not only working around the clock, guys working, you know, 2 and 3 weeks straight without going home, coming back in from off duty when the bridge fire happened, and opening up their doors at the fire station to welcome all of our cooperators that we had from all over the state here for those couple weeks. So just like to give a warm thank you to our
thank you.
Get a picture of you with the plaque.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A couple of the
yes.
members there. Just photo
yes.
walk there.
You guys want to
be all of us. And if you want to.
Come on.
Sorry.
I'm going to bring out my counterparts from Cal Fire and LA County who are here as well. So.
We want us, Vicki, where would you like us?
Where's the best spot?
The Red Cross, where do people sign up for that, and how are we putting that on our website or on our Facebook or something?
Brenda, do you want to speak to that? The email went to the CSD.
So I sent the flyer to the CSD email that I saw on the website. That was before the bridge fire, so I know we've had a lot going on since then, but I can resend it if I need to. On there should be a link for people to sign up. So it'll be volunteers from the Red Cross, your local fire station, us at 14s, and yeah, we'll be going around and installing. Our mission is for every home here in Wrightwood to have a working smoke detector.
Thank you.
Yep,
thank
no
you.
Problem.
Is there a better way to get that to you guys?
Tim, did you get the email? Do you have that? Oh, you do. Okay.
Okay.
I also sent it, I haven't met him, but to the principal of the school to see if he could disseminate it that way. I haven't heard back, but maybe if you guys have a contact with them, that would be better. I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Kurt Giroux. I'm Division 2 on the Andrews National Forest. I cover the front side of the mountain range, starting from Mount Baldy across to Arcadia. So that's where I work normally. I was the initial tech incident commander on this fire for the first two shifts, and I'm back as the incident commander currently. So I've got a few updates for you. Currently we're sitting at 54,878 acres, 98% containment. We still have about approximately 158 personnel assigned to the fire, actively out. Working. We no longer have a night shift. We are only working during the day. All the areas that they're working in now are very steep, remote, a little too dangerous to access at night. So it's mainly a day shift. As you know, the fire started on September 8th, and the IMT that came in took over on the 10th. So as the initial attack incident commander, I don't know what everybody wants to know, but we did leave a progression map here for each day of the fire, different color of how it grew, something to look at after the meeting. We also have a current perimeter map. And when you come up to look at it, you'll see there's several areas that aren't black. Those two areas we do not have lying around yet. They're in areas we don't expect it to grow, but you will see smoke in those areas still. Additionally, Pine Mountain, which is on the back side of Blue Ridge, is a big island, slowly burning out. We cannot get folks into it to put it out, so it's going to be a matter of time until the smoke dwindles. Unfortunately for that, it looks like when you see the smoke from town, it's coming off of Blue Ridge, so it seems a lot closer, and we've been fielding many calls on that. I would suspect for the next few weeks at least to continue seeing smoke on the ridge lines within the tree stands. If you see something that looks like the fire is moving, definitely report it, call 911. You can call the Angeles National Forest. We have Twitter. If you need information, Facebook and InstaWeb for updated information on the fire. And there are contacts on those sites. So I'll be around if anybody has any more detailed questions for us. I don't want to take up all your time here, so I'll be at the back of the room if anybody has questions after.
I have a question, please. Yes. Thank you. So the rapid spread right here, the largest area where it's brown, so that's basically showing that it grew to it took over 31,000 acres around 4:50 p.m. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And so where did it come from when it spread up north? Like.
So, the fire started down in the East Fork of San Gabriel Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a half mile hike in for our initial attack resources mm-hmm. to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Very steep, very rocky terrain. It took time to get folks in there. By then the fire was spreading to the south on the north facing slope. Aircraft was marginally effective for us due to the heat, the terrain, fuel type that was in there. Decisions at the time were made to hold Glendora Ridge Road as best we could, pick up any fire that hopped over it. We were pretty successful in that for most of the evening. Late in the night, when I transitioned out with the night IC, they did get spots across there, and they tried multiple times to insert folks to fight the fire, cut line around it, and were chased out multiple times. We did order aircraft, night flying aircraft, the QRF, which is specialized helitankers that are ordered, three of them plus a aerial supervision for them, and we worked them through the night until they got smoked out where they couldn't safely fly anymore. Set up mobile retardant base that first morning after the fire started, so as soon as we could get it up, and we utilized that as much as possible. Second day, when I came back and assumed IC from the night IC, the fire continued to grow to the south into the to make a good run. The second day, got to about 4 miles from Mount Baldy. That's when we put evacuation orders in effect. That was between the unified ICs at that point. We're unified with LA County, San Bernardino County Fire, LA County Sheriffs, and the Forest Service at that point. So the second day would be the big green blobs down here. The primary concern at that point was Mount Baldy. It was the closest community, and it was making a direct route towards it. As the sun started to go down, the fire laid down, and we were looking for opportunities to get ahead of it with dozers and direct fire suppression with hose lays, hand lines. Minimally successful going direct with this fire due to the fire activity. Following morning, I transitioned with California Federal Team 5. They took command approximately 0600. I went back to try and get some sleep. later in the afternoon, about the same time the fire made a run towards Baldy and then laid down, is when the fire got very active again. And that's when it made the hard push into Mount Baldy and subsequently went much further, approximately 12 miles in distance up to Wrightwood. Very unprecedented fire spread for that area, both ways. I was very in awe of how quickly the fire was moving. So for while the team was there, I really can't speak to operationally what was going on. I can tell you that I took the fire back on the 26th, this past Wednesday, from the team. We are downsizing, demobbing resources at the time out, and we continue to put in suppression efforts on smokes that are found, reported from the public. We're working on suppression repair, which is repairing the dozer lines so there's less erosion occurring when the rains come. And we currently have a bear team assigned to the fire doing their assessments. Can't speak to that. I'm not part of that team, and the report hasn't come out yet.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that explanation. Thank you very much.
Item number 6, the consent calendar, September 3rd, 2024, regular board meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
I just wanted to say before we moved on, I just wanted to thank everybody, thank all the first responders, thank all the agencies that were involved in the response. I know I speak for everyone in the community that we're so grateful to have our home. It was an awful feeling to be evacuated and not know what was happening. And so I just want to publicly thank everyone that was involved, all agencies, all first responders, and all community members that stepped up and you know, had a part and a role in supporting each other. So I just wanted to say thank you and just give a round of applause. Sorry, Christy, I wanted to say that before we moved on.
All right, I second that for sure. Okay, so do we have a motion to approve our regular board meeting minutes from September 3rd, 2024?
I reviewed them and they looked fine to me, so I'd like to make a motion to approve our minutes from our last meeting.
And I'll second that.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Item 7, August 24th financials, discussion and possible action. Did you guys have time to review the financials? Any concerns, questions?
I reviewed them. They looked fine to me. I didn't have any questions.
Okay. I need a motion to approve.
So moved.
All right. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, motion carries. All right, general manager's report, Tammy. Floor is yours.
First of all, I'd like to welcome Kurt Watson to our board. Welcome, Kurt. We're happy to have you.
Thank you.
And I'd like to take this opportunity to once again thank all the first responders and agencies for their hard work and dedication in saving our village from the bridge fire. Hundreds of people from the village joined together on Saturday, September 21st for a celebration of our first responders and to show their appreciation to the brave men and women that fought so hard to save our town. There were food trucks, kids' activities, and a raffle where the money raised will be donated to our local fire victims. The raffle so far, we've actually, we're about 11,000 now, I believe, as of today. And we'll be having the GoFundMe open until Friday, and then we'll be closing it and distributing it amongst the fire victims. As to the bathroom project, the elevation survey, the topo, has been completed and sent to the architect for the next phase. I'm hoping to have an architectural drawing to present to the board at the next meeting. The septic system is currently being engineered, and once completed, we can start the RFP process Fall adult softball had their first game on September 8th with 12 teams registered to play. This month's senior lunch will be held on Wednesday, October 9th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Come out and enjoy a pasta lunch prepared by a generous group of volunteers. Also, live stream will be at the community building accepting blood donations on Saturday, October 26th from 1 p.m. to approximately 7 p.m. I'm also happy to announce that we'll once again be hosting a mobile office for Senator Ochoa Bogues, beginning in October on the third Thursday of every month from 12 to noon. Ariel Solis will be representing the senator and is very eager to be of assistance to our town. And the new website is coming along nicely and should be up and running very soon. Any questions?
So is this portion not, so does not apply now?
Apparently not. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a surprise.
Well, since it's on here, what I heard sounded like a resignation, but it is on, it is one of our active programs, so I'm wondering if there's a way that we could try and maybe work to bridge whatever is happening and or maybe have a meeting and try and work it out.
I would love to, and I did ask for a meeting. And
okay. I don't want to put anybody on the spot to have to speak to it, but
I believe this is a huge misunderstanding on April's part.
I would just like to say that since...
I'm not going to come back. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, April, I appreciate...
talk about this too.
Okay.
I can't make you read your email. Thank you.
I apologize. I didn't receive any emails about it, but I
you
do.
Didn't.
Okay.
You didn't.
But I do want to say publicly that I have really appreciated the program and everything that I've seen that's come from it. I've seen that it's been very popular and that it's been very appreciated by the community. And I'm sad to see if that's your decision. I'm very sad to see you go, and I hope that you will continue on because I think it's providing a great service to the community.
Thank you. Moving on to item number 9, Lions Club variance, breakfast with Santa Craft Fair, discussion and possible action.
Hi, good evening. Jill Carlton Payne, past president of Timberline Lions, current treasurer. We have earmarked for November 30th breakfast with Santa. I am fortunate enough to live next door to Santa Claus. The proceeds for that, we're going to be going to Terracita Pines. And Terracita Pines, thank you, first responders. You saved Terracita Pines. So we had to cancel the diabetes camp. That won't be happening. So what we are doing instead with the funds for Breakfast with Santa is going to set up a GoFundMe. It will be going all year long, and that is through the district. And that's going to be set up strictly for the fire victims. It is a separate checking account, and I invite anyone in this community. We are about transparency. You can look and see where those funds will be going at any time. You just need to make an appointment with me. And that'll be ongoing as the needs change and they get back into their homes. So we are asking for that variance. The crafters, all proceeds will go for that. And that will help by having that variance. So I hope that you guys will consider that.
Yeah, I have some questions. So this event is going to be on November 30th, is that correct?
It is.
I think that the board might have copies that you might not be able to see if you want to read the check. Okay. No, it was just, okay, yeah, I read online, but if you want to look at it. But the amount to be considered, there was an amount to be considered in here, so how much of a variance?
Was it Tammy Norley, $50, or it's like... We're going to have the kitchen for that day. So we come in typically 2 hours the night before on a Friday and decorate so the building's good to go in the morning. And then we'll be cooking the pancake breakfast from like 2 to 1. And then we'll switch over for the crafters to come in. And the proceeds for those tables will go to that same fund as well. So normally what you charge is for the building, which is...
I think are very, isn't it $50
yeah,
for
it's like
everything?
$50.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
It's just $50
yeah.
for the entire
and,
building
and, well,
rental?
Well, the kitchen is like 100, is it 180?
No, typically the kitchen is 50 for the whole day.
Okay, yeah.
And then we charge $16.50 an hour for the building usage. So
okay.
it would be 50 would be for the kitchen, and then how many, however many hours.
And how many hours?
For the,
so two hours on, what was it? Four hours on Friday, and then 8 hours on Saturday.
Okay.
And what we are doing for the community, because Chamber and other 501c3 nonprofits weren't able to do this, we are going to be out of our budget doing advertising for this event, for our Shop at Home night, for the entire community out of the Lions budget for that on Y102.3 the week before, and KFROG the week before and the week of.
Okay.
So total variance 248.
Yeah, that's what I have. Is that what you're requesting?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And could you repeat that last part, which you said about what you're contributing from the Lions Club for the event?
The Lions, Timberline Lions, is going to be doing and paying for all advertising for that event and for that weekend on Y102.3 and KFROG for the community.
Oh, okay.
To get the objective is to get people up to our community, especially after the fire, and get back into the spirit of, you know, shopping before Christmas, coming to our town. So it won't just be the Lions event. We'll be advertising for the town as well. So
okay.
that benefits the community.
Okay. Are there any conflicting CSD events or things that we would be doing that weekend?
Reservations are being confirmed.
Oh, it is confirmed.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, and do you use the parking lot still open to the public, correct? Okay. Okay. You guys think?
I mean, I motion to approve.
Oh, okay. Oh, did you already motion? I'm sorry.
No, I'm
oh,
saying I
okay.
will.
Okay, great. I'll second your motion to approve this variance request.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Thank you
all
so
right.
much from Timberline Lions, and thank you for all the things you've done for the community and our first responders. You know, having lost two homes down in San Bernardino in the old fire, you guys are phenomenal, and we can't wait to get Terracina Pines back up to speed. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, item number 10 is public safety, discussion and possible action. So with all the break-ins and robberies in our town, it was requested by the committee that public safety be agendized for the October meeting. So.
Yeah. So I think the goal for adding this, I'd like to add this just so that we can start a discussion with the community and with our board on things that we can do to be proactive to look at the things, because it's very widely known in the last month that the community is very worried about the break-ins, about there was a burglary in broad daylight with a knife and bear spray, and there's just been a lot, there was looting, and there's been a lot of things that have, I think, spiked the public attention. And before that even happened during the fire, you know, the community, I brought that up at our previous board meeting, so that's why we had asked for it to be an agenda item tonight. The CSD does not have the function of providing law enforcement, so we don't have, you know, the ability to do much, but we could start the conversation with the community and try and find out what types of things that we can do to be proactive. Maybe, you know, write the county or write somebody, and, you know, start to be, we've always been told kind of the squeaky wheel gets, you know, I think Officer, I'm sorry, your last name?
Captain Letts.
Captain Letts. I think Captain Letts had mentioned in last meeting, you know, the squeaky wheel kind of gets the grease, and so I think as a community, you know, maybe we can start to come up with a way that we can, you know, communicate these problems and try and advocate for maybe some more presence up here, especially as we come closer to the winter, you know, period, and we get all the snow play and all that kind of stuff. And so really it's kind of just like an open agenda item to see if there's any ideas on things that we can do, and to invite the community to share ideas as well.
I did like Chad's idea about inquiring about where specifically, because I think we do have the right to know specifically where those funds are being used and how they're being used with regard to our public safety. So
yeah.
I mean, I'd like to follow up on that. And I know that Mr. Porter isn't still here.
Well, I don't think so.
No, he wasn't feeling
but I think we have a good connection with Mr. Porter, so we could perhaps make that request and ask and, you know, try and do like a follow-up so that the community knows that, you know, what those funds are being used for and how we can use them better in our community.
Okay.
And I know that there's talk of Neighborhood Watch. We don't, you know, do Neighborhood Watch either. But I don't know. I'm interested to hear from the community really on this because, like I said, the CSD does not have the function of providing law enforcement, but we do have an issue here, and you know, we are a governing body that can try and make some type of change. And so, curious what the community thinks about it.
Maybe some meetings with WeTip, get WeTip back up with the signs. I think that's a great start. I already filled out a bunch of that today for forms and such. And that's free, but they have a whole thing down in Rancho Cucamonga where you can connect with WeTip to get those brochures out and put it up on the community. Neighborhood Watch hasn't been working in 5 years. Look where we are now. Neighborhood Watch, right now for me, is social media after the fact with people's Ring doorbells.
Right.
That's Neighborhood Watch should be watch captains, getting the training, getting block captains back, boots on the ground, know who your neighbors are, getting that phone tree, not someone going on social media, hey, my house was robbed, who's this guy, let's find him. That's not Neighborhood Watch. That's not how it's set up through the sheriff's department. Do you have like a whole program or something like that?
We have a public probation officer at our station that can come up and organize it, but it's eyes and ears, it's not Ring cameras. And
that's what's happening now. That's what's happened for the past 5 years.
Social
what we
media.
Have, it's not working.
So
right now, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes or talk bad about anybody in particular, but what we have is where we're at right now. It's not working.
And that's the general problem, is it doesn't work if the community doesn't stay engaged and active because it's a community-based system.
So how do we get that going again?
Just have my PIO schedule a meeting.
Okay.
Talk about it. Stacy Parks.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
So that would be scheduling like a community meeting with, did you say, what was their title?
My public information officer, Stacy Parks,
mm-hmm.
at the main office, 760-552-6800.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be happy to come up and set up a meeting.
552-6760.
Zero, zero.
Wait, say that again.
760-552 6800 Stacy Parks.
Okay.
And she'd be happy to set up a meeting.
And
what she does all the time.
Great.
Excellent.
And who
do it the right way.
Who did you say does the training?
Stacy Parks will set up.
Oh, she does the training?
She's in charge of the public information.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Great. Well, I don't think that's a bad idea either.
Yeah.
You know, I, like I'd said, you know, I don't know if it's something we can do. Maybe ask Steve if that's, if we can be involved in setting that up or if someone in the community just wants to take charge on that. But it's, I mean, you can ask Steve if.
Christine, is that something that we can do, set up and have a meeting here with the public information officer?
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
And just for clarity,
well,
that meeting would be to properly outline how we can have an effective neighborhood watch. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Revamp what's not working. Revamp.
Well, and I know there's a lot of people in the community that would be interested in
Absolutely.
Doing that, making sure that it's effective,
because
there's a lot of people that are, you know, attempting to do that and probably just need to know the right
way
to do
it. We just
need
to partner with our law enforcement to get it done the correct way so that it's effective. Right now, it's not effective.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I had a suggestion.
Yeah.
You're mentioning getting to know your neighbors. Just a thought, if we had like one day a month out on the deck, you know, walk around your block and get to know people and maybe offer coffee or something. Of course, that could invite somebody who's got bad intentions too, but anyway, it's just a suggestion.
Thank you.
Sure.
Did you have something to say? I see you keep trying to raise your hand.
So can we just, I was born and raised in Mexico. We do it old style. We just get the sticks and we see some.
Can we do that, Mary? Some people would advocate violence, but we can't do that.
All right, what if we get, I see people get golf carts. Why don't we just drive around the town, especially the robbery is at night. Why can't we just drive around to see who's, basically the target is the gas station and the fine foods.
But we need someone to volunteer to do this.
Well, I think there's the ability. I would love to hear from you. I think you're the expert here. sorry to put you on the spot.
Just because I have to put the official spin on that.
Yeah.
Golf carts are not legal in the state of California on roadways.
Correct.
So you can't legally drive those. Vigilante justice is not legal in the state of California. So we can't have that either. But public information programs, my public information officer is willing to do that because that's what she does 24 hours a day. She's the one that organized all the volunteers on our posse and search and rescue to come up and remove all the animals during the fire. So that's the type of stuff that she does.
Citizens on patrol?
Citizens on patrol, but again, it involves the community staying active, going through the training and that. So all that is good as long as we have the community engagement to go behind it.
Mm-hmm. So if we call your Stacy Parks PIO and say, let's get a meeting up here. Are you guys open to doing that?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, we just
then
need
we
a place.
The community.
Yeah, we just need a place.
Yeah.
And she has, and she has access to all the different programs that the department runs in other cities, and that they're very effective, but they're only effective as the community makes them.
Right. And so Citizens on Patrol, I think you had mentioned last month that they go through the training program and they essentially become expert witnesses where they just see and hear and report?
Not per se expert witnesses, but we train them on what to look for, what to call in on, because they have access in our patrol radios.
Okay.
And how to immediately contact dispatch. They don't go through a phone 911, they call dispatch on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their job, is to be additional eyes and ears. Neighborhood Watch is more of a grassroots
mm-hmm.
campaign that is not a direct engagement of the department. It's an engagement of the community. So they work together, they have the block captains, and they organize their blocks
okay.
to be aware, you don't live here, you live here. You don't go engage them, you call 911 and ask for a deputy to come up on that.
Okay. And as Citizens on Patrol, is there an expense to running that program or having that program in
There's
our community?
There's no expense to you. Other than in Hellendale, for example, they did donate a vehicle to the program.
So I was going to ask, we would have to get our own vehicle, correct?
It depends on where the funding is in the county. If
mm-hmm.
we are able to get something out of the county supervisor or
mm-hmm.
something like that, but usually those vehicles are donated by the community.
Okay.
And they're outfitted with the logos and all that.
And now if we had several of those, if we were able to get people involved in that way, could they work around the clock if there were enough of them and share the vehicle and
yeah.
just be up here 24/7?
Yeah, as long as they follow the guidelines that are set forth in the Citizen on Patrol manual, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
So that will be impersonating an officer,
right? No.
No, no. Okay.
No.
They're a volunteer.
Okay.
They're officially ID'd.
Uh-huh.
And that. And we could go with that, but Stacy would have the different programs and be able to meet with the community, find out what they would like and what they are capable of doing. And that we don't
need,
it's not an agendized item, it's not a Brown Act item. It's just a community meeting with the police department, the sheriff's department.
Well,
yeah.
That's great. I think that's a great
yeah.
start.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'd learn a lot from that, so.
Yeah.
One last
you.
Question. How come there's no sheriff's station in here?
The department moved the sheriff's station years ago. Everything's based on data. So before I took over the command, the data showed calls for service. And they chose that the calls were more centrally located out of the Phelan area. Someone had mentioned having three deputies and all that. I'll give the example. The city of Adelanto has three deputies per shift. Okay, it's not just three deputies. You have to have a command structure to go behind that. They're charged $7.7 million a year to have three deputies per shift. Because to have three per shift, that's 15 deputies. That's wages, insurance, vehicles. So there's a lot to consider when that goes on. So when you need an emergency, like I told you at the last meeting, we had 44 deputies up here within 30 minutes, and within an hour, I had 75 deputies up here. So you are covered in that. But you have to be able to substantiate that a deputy, because they're expensive, is going to be active as a law enforcement officer, not a security officer. Deputy sheriffs are not security guards. They are actively doing crime. So like while you were no longer in your residences, we had one crime report that was taken after people came back home. And we think that was probably an accident on the reporter on what they believed was missing. But 75 deputies a day, and then once you repopulated, we continued with 20 deputies per shift throughout the next couple days to make sure that we had plenty of coverage, that when you came back, you guys were secure. So I just wanted to kind of get that to you also.
No, I appreciate that.
I make a lot more than $200,000.
No, we appreciate that because, as you probably know, social media becomes this whole thing,
right,
and people are on there saying we were looted and this and that, and there's people in garages, and
right,
there were the females who went into the grocery store at noon.
Yeah, there's a bus up from Victorville.
Yes, yeah.
And
so
there was extra officers. Yeah, that was,
yeah.
Yeah, it was just dumb crooks. We
absolutely
don't catch the smart ones. You know, you're considered a smart crook, and how are you going to get off the hill?
Yeah.
So it was just really dumb. And what they did, our crime stats, and then my Stacy's been off with a personal thing, so I didn't get to have the crime stats tonight. But our crime stats are actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
Nationally, the crime stats are really good in the United States.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to be able to have those for the next meeting in that. Sergeant Rios will probably be at that one. But everything goes by stats.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're doing with it, is going on stat-based pooled risk, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
So. And a good example is the fire. We don't get full reimbursement from the federal government for our deputies and people that were here. We get probably about 75% of that. So when you talk about that number, and I'm not sure where that $900,000 number came from. I don't know where that is. I'm pretty sure I shot that $900,000 in the week or so that we were up here for the fire. And that doesn't mean you're not gonna get service. You're still gonna get service. We're still gonna have deputies come up here. But it's all data-driven is how they do it. And I'm still, again, if anybody wants a job, I'm still short 9 deputies, and we're still short about 400 personnel in the department. So if you're over 21 U.S. citizen, I'd love to hire you. So.
One last question. Is it illegal to use a bear spray?
Well, it's a felony, probably.
Yes.
Spraying someone with a caustic chemical, yes.
If you are
pepper
protecting
spray,
yourself?
You're protected. Pepper spray, not bear spray. Bear spray is much stronger than pepper spray, and that makes it a weapon. Where pepper spray, if you're defending yourself, is a defensive tool.
So
pepper spray is not intended to spray a human.
So
again,
bear spray is not allowed to be used in a defensive situation. If
someone
broke
no,
into your house?
I'm not going to say no, but you may end up with some liability from someone, even if maybe a suspect, if you're using bear spray, and it says right on the container, not to use on humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, but bullets aren't made.
I don't own bear spray, so
yeah.
Disaster.
Bear spray might be better.
Yeah. So like I said, I have to do the legal thought part of it. Don't use bear spray on humans, please.
Well, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm gonna put it next to my bed.
Well, I think that's a good suggestion. I think a good start would just be to contact the POI and see if we can set up a meeting, and then we can just have this conversation like at the community level, and I, you know, try and advertise it so that more people from the community come. And so,
and you know, I like the idea, and I don't know how much we can contribute to this, but and it would probably take more of the community involvement to figure it out. But I like the idea about having the once a month mixer, even if it was done by like block sectors, to really get to know your neighbors and have it also be some type of kind of a social fun event for folks. And again, that's maybe something we talk to through with the community to see what that looks like and how that can be accomplished. But I think that sounds like a really awesome idea, a way to get to know your neighbors.
Great. Okay, so would we like to direct staff to maybe write a letter and approach the POI about organizing a meeting, or do you want someone on the board to do that, or how?
I'll just call them.
You just
do
call?
I need to write a letter?
Okay, no, I mean,
okay.
If you want to
make
it formal.
Make it simple.
But yeah, I think it'd be great to call and see if we can get something organized in the next month or two.
Yeah, for sure. And I do think we should call and find out about the text, just for better understanding, because I'm sure then that way, because like we've heard several times, well, we do, you know, nearly $1 million in taxes. Where is it going?
Where is it going?
So if we could just even supply that data and have something for the folks in the community so they understand better where that's being used, that would be helpful too. So we can go ahead with that piece.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for your input on that.
All right. Next.
Thank you, Captain Lutz, too.
Yes. Thank you. Next on the agenda is item number 11, Vision Plan. Discussion and possible action. Now, I know that that was being headed by
Natalie. Yeah, that was me.
Oh, was
that's
okay.
Yeah, just we don't have much of an update. We at our last board meeting, we directed staff to engage with BHI consulting for our vision plan. And Angela did so, and then we were evacuated for the fire, and so that is still in the works on the next step. So I'll have more to report at the next meeting on
okay.
that.
All right. Item number 12, replacement of museum doors, discussion and possible action.
All right. We need replacement of our museum door. It's really old, it's warped, it's wooden. And it's just falling apart due to the weather. So let's see, what did I put on here? Not for incident, but for the security as well, there's an approximate 1-inch gap along the door jamb, making it easy to jimmy open the lock. The lock has been replaced with a deadbolt, so it's only a temporary fix. So due to the harsh winters and our weather, I recommend we replace the door with a metal door similar to the ones in the community building. There is a quote attached. It is a little pricey because the labor involved to make the door fit. If you look at the door jamb, you'll see why, but there is gonna be a lot of work need to be done on the door jamb itself.
Is CM Installation the people that you've used to do our locks on our other doors?
Yes.
Okay.
They put these doors, they're actually our camera, they do our cameras also.
Okay. I was looking for the financials, I don't know what happened to them, but we have like $30,000 in our reserve for replacements, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So... I mean, I think if it has to be fixed, then we have to fix it. And we have a reserve for replacements account for that purpose.
Oh.
I saw the number, I just didn't see
mm-hmm.
it. Oh, here it is. Yeah.
All right, so do we have a motion to approve this, or do we want to get different quotes? What does that look like?
That's up to the board. We can, if you want to see if we can get like a lower quote, we can try to do that. Or if you want to get it done now, I would recommend using our reserve for replacements account to repair.
The only reason I stuck with him is when we got the quotes for the other doors, he was the best, and he is a local. He was best price, so I just kind of stuck with him. But I can get more quotes if you guys would like.
I would be okay with moving forward with this one because we have used him for these and also our cameras.
I would also weigh in for the fact that with the escalation of vandalism and break-ins and all that's going on, this is a mitigation situation. Let's mitigate. Let's take care of it. If you've done your due diligence, Tammy, great job.
We have a motion to approve then?
I'll make the motion.
And I'll second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we're on to 12A, which is the recreation economy for rural communities. And I'll hand that over to you, Kurt.
Thank you.
Review.
So this is something that I looked into a couple years ago, 2022, and came upon this and just looking at opportunities. At that time, I was launching the Big Pines Archery as a Parks and Recreation add-on. Didn't quite happen there. We got it up to Mountain High. But what I want to discuss with you is a recreation economy for rural communities. And I was first introduced to this. Round one was, like I say, in 2022. But here's kind of a thumbnail sketch of what it is. I observed the information webinar today, and anyone can go in and look at this webinar at epa.gov, RERC, you'll find it in there. And it's about an hour and a half. It's pretty long-winded, but there's a lot of terrific information. So there's a timeline and a process for just the application. And the reason this is before us tonight is because the application deadline is midnight, October 16th. And what this represents is, how do we, or does any community that's eligible, leverage outdoor recreation to revitalize our main streets, bring federal and state agencies and other parties to the table to listen and to help? So it's not just a funnel for grants or grant monies. This is a information process. It takes about a year to go through the planning process. So in the planning assistance process, there is, we assess, there's a consultant team that works with a steering committee. A steering committee is developed by us here in the community, and goals are discussed. There's a convene, and next step is to convene, and this is a big deal because EPA will send federal representatives, state representatives, for a two-day seminar where you sit down and you present your plan. Let me back up. This application is no guarantee that we get in, but we are a pretty darn good candidate. Wrightwood is in looking at the profile. So far, it started off. And did I time out already?
Wow. I think you need more time.
All right. All right. I better speed it up.
Sorry. You told me to set it, but there is no time limit.
Thanks, Tammy. So, in 2022, 10 communities applied and were approved in round one. In round two then, which is where we're at today, 25 more communities were applied for and approved. So 35 communities have been reached through this RERC program. So after the convene process, the two-day seminar, what happens then is it's a get-together for presentation, listening, collaborating, and agencies and others decide we can help you, or maybe this agency over here can help you with what you're trying to achieve here. And then the third step, obviously, is implement. The implementation part comes after at least a year. So there's a year set aside for the planning, assessing, convening, and implementation part. A couple of the towns in Colorado, Monte Vista, Colorado, Glenwood Springs, Colorado, have done incredible things with the RERC monies and consultation, but they also put together some pretty good ideas with their community. And I think our community is primed for something like this. I think we have the ability to be able to sit down as intelligent adults and come up with some ideas. And a lot of these ideas are percolating here tonight. Some of it's needs, but the needs assessment can be done very collaboratively by the people that live here. Some of the workshop goals, when you sit down with the masters of the program, recreation opportunities and access for all, downtown amenities and downtown vibrancy. Chad loves that. And Mike, I know it's a downtown vibrancy. I love that idea for where it can go. Business and economic development, stewardship and authenticity. Youth surveys. Some of these towns have gone out, actually reached out to the youth in the community and say, what do you need? What do you want? What would be good for you? And so that dialogue process begins with something like this. So we would have to develop a steering committee. that would be stakeholders. And it's easy to think about who are the stakeholders in our community. You know, there's an anchor, there's a big anchor right west of town, right? And there's this big stakeholder there. Maybe it could be utilities, our water. It could be just any number of things. So outdoor recreation is what this really kind of focuses on. A lot of these towns have decided, how do I get my trail across the highway and up that mountain, and people in wheelchairs, for instance, can have access to that? Or how do I get up, what's the best way to access the PCT? Well, the PCT is kind of is in our hip pocket. It's one of the things we can say, we have that, we own that. So as you develop your plan, you tee up the things that make you attractive to the governing body, the EPA and these others, and then community revitalization. I think we all really believe that that is right front and center of what we are capable of, what we want, what we need. It's a year-long process, as I said. The selection begins in early 2025. So we put in an application. I'll need help with that because I will definitely take the lead on this. And that deadline, or that selection process begins, then those who have applied to the EPA.gov are then notified in the selection and selected. I think we could probably run a pretty good chance of being selected. Also, workshops are conducted then through the whole year following your selection. And the EPA has a committed team of experts. So it's not like the EPA comes in. There's ancillary organizations, agencies. Not everybody's going to just write a check, but there are people that might step in and say, you have such a unique situation in your community. You need to talk to this group over here from whatever that resource might be. So what happens also is it lays the groundwork for multiple projects. There might be things that we know we need infrastructure. We know we need safety and security. There's work afoot to help our groundwater situation. We know how much water we're taking out. We can get a number from Golden State to know exactly how much water is running through the system. How much of that can we recover and make affluent water 99.9% pure? It's happening all the time. It happens every day. So this is the RERC, Recreation Economy for Rural Communities, and I'm going to work with the board to fill out the application, and let's see where it goes.
And there are copies on the back table if anyone's interested in just seeing some of the information. You know, I made a few extra copies.
Well, I think it sounds great. It sounds very needed. It sounds sort of in line with what we're trying to do with our strategic plan as well, and come up with our vision for a CSD specific. But obviously there are a lot of things that, like I'd mentioned, that the CSD does not have control over, or does not govern. And that sounds like it's something that would touch on those things as well. So it sounds like, the way I see it, it sounds like CSD would be a good partner in the steering committee of stakeholders that you were able to gather, if that's what the board wanted to do. But like I said, I think it sounds like we might be able to, as we craft our vision plan, that we might be able to find resources from this avenue to understand how we can meet some of our own vision plan goals, as well as create an avenue for, you know, the downtown and business owners and things like that to address the issues like wastewater and things that we're dealing with. And so I think it sounds like a great idea. So if we as a board decide to put in an application, we're basically applying to have access to their resources and potentially be visited by the group. Am I understanding that correctly?
The first step would be, after filling out the application, would be an acceptance, like I said, and applicant eligibility, who can receive. We are definitely based on our profile as a community. We are definitely eligible. I don't have many of the questions in, but it's a pretty comprehensive form. that asks really specific questions on how, what do you need, how do you want to get there, what's the size of your community, what are the geographical boundaries. There's ways to put in information that tells who you are, why you are, what you want to become, if that all makes sense. And then if it's something they think they can work with, then we're notified, and then that's when they'll raise the alarm with us, so to speak, that, hey, we like you and we want to help you, and get ready because here we come. So it would be incumbent upon us then to have our ducks in a row. And what are the priorities? What are the things in this community that we want, A, B, C, D? And what are the things we'd like to have? And then those are a little more maybe superfluous to what, you know, the basics things, the basics of what we need and what we have to have, and go from there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those typical questions that they ask are in this.
Okay.
Pamphlet, like
okay.
Page 3 and
yeah,
4.
I didn't get a chance to
no,
review it.
No,
but
didn't
I
have
will.
It either.
Yeah.
So I.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea. I do think that we need to be cognizant, if that's the right word, of remembering what our CSD functions are, and you know, specifically identifying those goals for ourselves, if that's what. You know, we're going to do
mm-hmm.
so that the community understands. I think that there's still, even, you know, 7 years later, there's still some misunderstanding about our specific functions. And so if we do embark on this, I would like to really make sure that we are looking at if, you know, I think it's great to have the community involved and, you know, highlight the needs of, you know, that we obviously know that the community has itself, but make sure that we're,
if I understand what you're saying,
remembering what
Director
we're in charge of.
LaPiccolo,
yes.
It is sticking close to the charter,
uh-huh.
which is, you know, an imperative. But if you look at the very first word in the RERC, recreation.
Yes, that's
so
true.
Really, that's that almost rings the bell for us right out the gate
yeah.
with parks and recreation. So what all can you attach to that? And without getting too out there or too creative, I think we stick close to the charter, stick close to what makes sense for us as a community, and work it from that angle.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
And so then for today, Steve, what is it that we would need to do in order to go ahead and take action on it?
Is action being requested?
Well, for submission of
the
application, yes.
Yes.
That would be the action. That would be the motion, I guess. I guess this is a question for Director Watson. What request of the board are you seeking at this time?
At this time, it would be a motion to request submission of application by the deadline midnight, October 16th, on or before that deadline.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they could just treat it as any motion of an agenda item is, where a board member can make a motion to that effect and be seconded and voted upon.
And would you work directly with staff to submit the application?
Yes, that is my ambition, to work directly with staff and then work with the community, find our stakeholders to you know, develop the process.
Okay, and the steering committee and.
Yes, the steering committee is, once we know, once there's a green light, then it's all hands on deck. Until that time, then it's information only, and maybe it's time to create a buzz that it's in process.
Okay, so do we have a motion to approve submission of the application before October 16th?
So moved.
I'll second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed.
Thank
right.
you.
Yeah,
excited
thank
to see
you.
What comes of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it really does align with the vision plan.
Yeah,
so
it sounds like it might mm-hmm. might help.
All right. So the next agenda is director's comments. Natalie, do you want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. I'd like to take the opportunity this evening. I I did not yesterday evening after our appointment, but I would like to publicly thank Sadie Albers for her service on our board. I think she brought a wealth of knowledge and skills that were really beneficial to our community, and I was sad to see her leave, and I just want to thank her for the hard work that she put in. I remember lots of times where she stepped in, like during the snowstorm, and she worked really hard to keep the community informed, and she had a very, you know, good gift in that manner with communication, and I appreciated that, and I appreciated the expertise she brought to the board. And so I wanted to thank her for her service, and I would like, we had directed staff or asked staff to create a plaque for Chuck when Chuck resigned, and Tammy has it done, but I would like to do the same for Sadie, and perhaps maybe invite them to our next board meeting so that we can formally thank them for their service and try and get a picture and all of that.
So can we talk to Supervisors Cook and get a resolution? I think those are really, it'd be cool for them to come and present that. And it's like whereas, and it, whereas, and it tells everything kind of what they've done and contributed. I know Mr. is a porter, right? He would be well-versed in that and know what it, what we would need. But it's very simple. When I used to work for Tony Strickland, we used to do
like
it all
the time.
Like a
thank you.
Yeah, it's really cool that you can frame it, and it's, I mean, you see them at businesses, you know, often, but it'll really talk about their accomplishments and the things that they've done. And so, I mean, I think it would be something very nice to present to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that'd be wonderful.
Easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would like, if we can do that, try and get that together by our next board meeting and invite them both if they're able to attend so that we can publicly thank them. And so I just want to go on record and thank her for everything that she did, and she will be missed on this board. And again, I'd like to thank everybody who came together to support each other during the bridge fire, and all the first responders and all the agencies. And I'd like to thank our board. I'd like to thank our legal counsel. As always, I'd like to thank our staff for always doing a great job. And I'd like to thank the community for coming and being involved. And I hope that everyone continues to stay involved. And that is, I think, all I have for tonight. So thank you very much. Do you have a director's comment?
My name is Kurt Watson. You know, I just showed up tonight. You're probably wondering, who is that guy up there? What happened?
Oh,
there was last night. There was would you like to describe what happened last
yes,
night?
Yes, and thank you for, because I didn't actually say, and I wanted to say that. I wanted to also, in my director's comments, congratulate Kurt Watson for being appointed to our board to fulfill the vacancy left by Chuck Franklin during his resignation. And so, Kurt, you've shown us tonight why you're going to be an excellent board member, and we appreciate you being with us here. So thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Looking forward to a lot more participation from everyone, those here and those who aren't here yet.
I want to echo everything that Natalie said. I also am really grateful for, the only reason I'm even on this board is because of Sadie's communication, especially with like trying to get the community more involved in this board. And so I really appreciate everything that she did while she was here, and she will definitely be missed. I want to welcome you, Kurt. I am really excited, especially just seeing what you brought on literally like 24-hour turnaround. This is what you brought to the board. So I'm excited to see where we can take this. And I do want to thank, there's not too many first responders left, but I do want to thank you all for everything that you did to protect our town and to keep us standing. And I'm excited to see the community rebuild after this and really see what we can do as a town.
Thank you.
All right. I'd like to thank Sadie also. I can't wait to celebrate both her and Chuck, I think at the next board meeting or in December, whenever that comes to fruition. Obviously the first responders, I know they're not here, but yes, always thankful for them and having them and our community being saved. Kurt, congratulations, and now we have to up our game. That's good. So appreciate that.
And leading by example, so that's always nice. But thank you all for coming out. I've really enjoyed even just the past two nights, the number of people we've had and the community engagement. I'd like to see that grow. And I know that, you know, we kind of have to take the lead on that and make sure that that does occur. But I want to thank you guys for coming out. And for those of you that we always see out here, thank you so much for your support. All right. And with that, the future board meeting will be November 5th. 2024 at 5:30. All right, meeting is adjourned.